finished up last week, broke at a good point. We began talked about the Lord's Supper, and we left here waiting for us, or the musical instruments, I'm sorry, singing. I wanted to spend more time there, but I didn't want to stop there because we've got a whole lot more to go. I'd like to do prayer today, lesson 9. I've had it in the back for a while. If you don't have one, there was some extra ones back there, so please get that. Laying by in store is what we're not going to get to. I've got a handout for that. I've got it with me here. So after services, if you'd like that additional material, I'll be glad to give that to you. I've got several copies of it. A lot of good scripture on laying by in store. Children often say, or figure, I know I did when I was younger, how can it be better to give than to get something? But it's a real good study. I recommend you get it. It's got some good material in it, and I'm sure with what you can add to it, it would be very beneficial. But I'll give that out as you requested. Edification in prayer. An opportunity to talk, to have direct communication with our God. It's pretty awesome when you get to thinking about it. When you think about the majesty of God, the greatness of God, and for us to have the ability to go to Him, it's a lot bigger than we sometimes think it is. We look back at the teaching, we look back at the examples that we have in Christ, God, all the divinity placed a great deal of emphasis on this prayer, on this communication, on this staying close, in this relationship that we have with God. We can all think of many different times that we saw Christ who prayed, prayed, prayed. His example and His instruction to His disciples that were with Him were the same. He emphasized just how important that prayer was to them. So if we go by His example, we'll have a very good prayer life, a very good relationship with God. Prayer in worship. I know I had a couple of headers on our handout. Prayer in worship and prayer as worship. Looking at prayer in worship, prayer edifies us as an individual when we pray. But as our study this quarter has been, we're looking at edification as a group. And I think it's easy to see the edification that prayer brings to everyone when we engage together as a group in our prayers as a congregation. It's something that we all come together on like subject. Our hearts are open to God. Our prayers, sometimes what we have to say edifies us. Paul's prayer this morning for me edifies me. It builds me up. I've often told the boys when they get ready to speak or to take on these things to not feel so intimidated by someone that you're speaking to as much as feeling the love and encouragement that they want to give you. They want you to succeed. They want you to work. And prayer is that way. We see petitions that go to God on our behalf, and that's encouraging to us, isn't it? Prayers if we have problems for us. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 is a scripture that we often refer to that warns us or instructs us as Christians, as individuals, that we pray without ceasing. We know that as individuals, and hopefully our prayer lives are good. If they're not, I know we can all improve. Everyone can improve. I could must as well. But the saints were also to pray when they assembled and when they came together for worship. 1 Corinthians 14. 14 through 15. We see an example here. When they were talking, when Paul's here talking about the gifts, he said, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and also sing with the understanding. We have instruction here that Paul gave to the church about their praying together. So they were praying together as a group. That was part of their of what they did as they came together. Got a lot of other examples. Acts, go to Acts. There's a couple there. Acts 2, 42, where here it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." We see this was what they did as they were together. Go over to chapter 4, verse 24. It says, "So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nations rage and why did the people plot vain things? The king on the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats. Grant to your servants with all the boldness that may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done throughout the name of your holy servant." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and all was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke with the word of God with boldness. Another good example of where we saw they came together. Prayer was something that was done as a group. 12:5 is another one. "Peter went therefore, was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church." The church prayed for him. And verse 12 as well in that chapter, 12 and verse 12. "So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, and many were gathered together praying." Good example that we had, we set the importance of authority before so that we establish what we do together as a group, and we understand that prayer is in worship. What about prayer as worship? We defined worship earlier in the quarter, didn't we? It was love and adoration, praise and glory that's given to God, the things that we do. But what makes prayer worship? Worship being, I guess, an expression of our love and our devotion to God. You look at prayer, prayer recognizes God, recognizes Him as God, recognizes Him as a supreme, the powerful God that He is. Prayer appeals to His love, to His mercy, to the characteristics that we know of God, His grace, His power. It shows our admitted submission to His power, that we have faith and truly trust in His power and His ability to take care of us. It's a reliance on Him, the need to communicate with Him. We all desire to talk to those that we love, don't we? I know, especially in this day and age of cell phones and whatnot, we see people that spend a huge amount of time on the phone. We desire, I do, I desire, you know, to talk to people. Why would we not desire to talk to God more? Why would we not desire more time with Him? It's a great blessing that we had. It exalts Him as the object of our praise when we pray to Him and we thank Him and we give Him that love and devotion that He deserves. He receives our love, and we recognize all the source of our blessings come from Him. There's so much that we do when we pray to God, or we pray in worship, that edifies us, that builds us up, that encourages us. So prayer as worship is perfect. It fits exactly. We mentioned last week, remember, that these things that God asked for, we do because He asked for them, but we receive benefits from them when they're done by truth, when they're done in spirit, and when they're done in holy faith. God displays His providential care and His love for His children by hearing and answering these prayers. How many times have we been edified or uplifted when we pray, and God answers our prayers? That's encouragement. And when we do that together as a group, it edifies one another. It builds us up. 1 John 5, 14 through 15. says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that He will have the petitions, that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. So, that's encouraging. That's something that's uplifting and edifying to us in our prayers. So prayers are very important. And here, it's always been stressed. We begin every service, every worship service, with a prayer for the sick. That reminds us of the great power that we have in prayer. God desires to hear from us, and we can do these things as a group and edify one another and build one another up. A lot of good examples, and we'll spend a lot of time in Matthew this morning, Matthew 6 and 7, because there's a lot of good stuff that He gives us here in His sermon, a lot of good direction. Matthew 7, 7 through 11, Christ Himself said here, ask and it'll be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and it'll be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, he gives him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give those good things to those who ask Him? Those are things that we do in worship that edifies us, that builds us up when we see we receive these things from our God. Let's define prayer for just a minute. Got several bullets to go through is the reason I'm kind of pushing on. If anybody has anything to add, just interrupt me. Prayer is the general term, some notes, for addressing God. And since it's possible for us to talk to Him as His children, He asks us to call upon Him very often. A good example that we remember was Luke 18, wasn't it? Very beginning of the chapter, the story of the widow and the judge. Now, the judge was not a righteous man. He cared nothing about God. He cared nothing about man. He was completely arrogant and disconnected from everything. But why did he give the widow her desire? She was persistent. Man, she just kept on. We're given that parable for a reason. It tells us, it's backed up in Ephesians 6, 7 through 18. Prayer is defined as part of the armor of God that we have. It's a tool that God has given us, a tool of protection and a tool of offense and defense. It's a very important thing, and that's why so much divine instruction and record we have on prayer. Yet, I think if we ask all of ourselves where we could improve as Christians and as children of God, I would say my time praying. I think a lot would agree with that. More time shutting down the world, shutting down the things of life, and spending the quality time that we have with God. What an awesome advantage that we have over the world by having this blessing of prayer. God wants it. He wants it often. He wants a lot of it. He wants all the time. The great thing about it is the power that it has and the ability that we have with it. It's not a commodity that's going to expire. He tells us in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 3, put this to work. Use these things. These are not things that are going to run out. Freely disperse and use. It's an awesome thing when we think about just how much God really, really gives us. This praying, it's the privilege and the duty of the righteous. James 5:16 is the verse that I'll give you on that. But to make a comment about it, what is a privilege? I often thought about that. A privilege is something that's afforded you. I think about the right, and I apologize for going to courts and whatnot, but a lot of my time has been spent there in my life. But to drive an automobile in the state of Kentucky, is that a right or is that a privilege?
Privilege.
It's a privilege. Why is it a privilege? It's a privilege because there's certain stipulations that you have to meet and you have to uphold, or else you lose that. You're not entitled to that. You're given that. Well, prayer, it's a privilege to us because we as the children of God have this ability to pray. Not everyone does. It's a concept the world's not familiar with. But we're going to spend some time here in a minute and we're going to look at that. The model prayer that was given by Jesus in Matthew 6 and verse 9, we see the adoration, the love, and the respect that he began that prayer with by giving God that praise, didn't he? Giving God that very thing that we give God in our worship. So prayer is so close and so closely hooked with worship. Only those who are trying to live righteously have their prayers heard. God's not going to hear the prayers of the unrighteous, the prayers of the sinners. 1 Peter 3, 10 through 12. Let's just look at a couple of these verses, but they'll be brought up here again in a minute. 1 Peter 3, 10 through 12. It says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will pass away fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking and hastening for the coming of the day, because of the which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the heavens will melt with fervent heat." I'm sorry, I'm in 2 Peter. I didn't think that didn't sound like what I put together. Go to 1 Peter 3, verse 10 through 12. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and let his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Here's why we're going here. Verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Another one that comes to my mind is John 9:31. I may occasionally have a mental block on exactly where this, but this is a verse that sticks to me so good, because when you talk to someone who has not been saved correctly, but have prayed themselves, supposedly by the ones that have talked to them, prayed themselves into salvation. This is a verse here that when you bring this to their attention, they're not aware of this verse. The ones that I've spoken to weren't aware of this verse. John 9, verse 31. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, He hears them. These things tell us that every man does not have the ears of righteous God. Only the righteous man does. And we all know the only way we get righteousness is through salvation. Because we're not righteous. We all sin. So we have this ear of God, don't we? That the world does not have. Prayer is asking, seeking, and knocking, with the assurance and the confidence that we have in ourselves that God will answer our prayers, that He's willing, ready, and able to respond. Refer you back to Matthew 7, where we read a while ago, 7 through 11, that shows that. Prayer is an act of faith. Luke 18. You may want to write these down. Some of these I put in your handout, and some of them I didn't, because we can't read them in their entirety. But we see here again the widow, the story of the widow. She asked and asked. Her persistence was there. James 1, 5 through 7 tells us that we pray without what? Yeah, we pray without doubt. We have to be confident, don't we? We need to have faith that what we ask for, God will give us. And it's got to be according to His will. So Prayer is an act of faith, and by praying to God, we show that we believe He's real, we believe He can do what He says He does, we recognize and see around us the wonders of Him, and we know who He is. He loves us, and He hears our prayer. Some of the verses that we've already looked at point to that. John 9:31, 1 John 5:13-15, that as long as we ask according to His will, He will answer our prayers. One may not be on our schedule, may not be the answer that we look for. Many times, that's one of the hardest things to study with one outside the church is, why does God let bad things happen to people, good people? Prayer is, God has His providence that He plays out, and we don't always understand. We don't always know why He does the things He does. We don't always know why He doesn't answer our prayers the way we ask them. But if it's according to His will, and we pray according to the way He told us to, we will get an answer to that prayer, won't we? Let's look at the elements of prayer. It involves adoration. It involves praise, don't it? It praises God. Acts 2:47. They praised God daily there, we're told, in Acts 2:47, by praying. Matthew 6:9, that we've looked at already, when Christ began His model prayer and was talking to them there. It recognized Him as the true Father, the majesty of His name, the praise. He began very in the very beginning by giving Him praise. Prayer includes petitions which are pleas for our needs, for one's needs. 1 John 5:15. We've looked at that earlier in our study. 1 John 5:15. We can also offer up supplications, can't we? Ephesians 6:18. Ephesians 6:18 here, it says, praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end and with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We see here that we have that afforded us, these earnest requests that we can make in our prayers. We can confess our sins and plead for forgiveness from God, can't we? 1 John 1:9-2:2. We see there that we pray to God, we confess our sins, and we can plead for forgiveness. Another essential or element of prayer that we often employ is our thanksgiving, isn't it? Our thanksgiving for all the blessings and the things that we recognize that God gives us so much of. And have you ever noticed the more you think about it, the more you dig in, and the more you identify and you think about what's happened and how it's a blessing, the more you realize so much gets by us that we don't even think about it. I mean, there's just so many blessings that God gives us that we really need to spend this time in prayer, because it helps us bring those to mind. It helps refresh our memories of just how good and blessed that we truly are. Philippians 4:6. We're handy there. It's just Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. God wants that. But not only does God want that, but it benefits us, because we're reminded, we're refreshed of how good God has been to us. When we do it as a group, it uplifts everyone. It encourages everyone. We can make intercessions, which are pleas for others, not ourselves. They're also an element of prayer. 1 Timothy 2:1. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. We talked about who has the ear of God, who does not. God's ear, when we pray to Him on behalf of others, others who may not have His ear, but we have this ability that we can go to God on behalf of those who may not have. It's an intercession. That's a great, what a powerful tool for someone who doesn't have that blessing or that ability to go to God. put a lot of things in your handout about prayer's components and looking for things in the Scriptures that were being prayed for in those things. I think there's quite a few of them. I encourage you to go to these verses. Look these verses up. See what is prayed for, what we have example. Remind yourself of what we have at our fingertips. A constant audience with God. And when you remind yourself of these things on this handout, of all that we have at our fingertips, it's amazing. Prayer becomes so much more important. Edification from prayer was another one of our headings there. We ask to find Scripture. Peace that passes all understanding. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Did anybody have anything else? We'll put down whatever everybody's found on those and we'll take those home for our private studies. Peace that passes all understanding, Philippians 4, 6 through 7. What about help in time of temptation? I have 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Anybody have anything else they want to add? What about wisdom? James 1, 5 comes to mind. Anybody come with anything else? Physical necessities. I know what probably a lot of people got on that. What's one on that? Physical necessities. Examples of prayers, examples of things where our physical necessities are met. Yeah. Matthew 6:33 comes to mind, don't it? Also. Healing, James 5:16. Forgiveness, Matthew 6:12. Help with prayer. What about that? Romans 8:26-27. We have all that available to us. I mean, even help with prayer. We can pray for these things. These are things that we have at our fingertips. What about some hindrances to prayer? Can prayer be hindered on our part? Absolutely. It's like anything else that we have that God gives us, it hinges on our obedience, doesn't it? Christians, we as Christians, as the church, must be constantly on guard against the things that hinder our prayers. One thing, lack of faith. James 1, 5 through 7. Wickedness can stand between us and our God. We lose the ear of God. Psalm 66, 18. Selfishness. How could selfishness come in? Prayer for ourselves. No concern for our brothers and sisters. Selfishness can creep in on us. James 4, 3. Luke 18, 9 through 4. What about improper attitudes toward others? Matthew 6, 14 through 15. Matthew 5, 23 through 24. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. Another note here that I wrote down. The substitution of prayer for obedience can hinder the prayers of the church and its members. Prayer, we can't substitute prayer for obedience. Obedience is what we have to have the ears of God for prayer. Just a note, something to think about. What about acceptable prayer? Some things about it. Oddly enough, there's a lot of things that the world feels that should be in prayer that are not required in our prayer. I wrote down some of those. Body posture, do we kneel, do we stand? You know, that there's no requirements on us for that. Much of the world feels that body posture is something that's required. Our language. Very many pray in the King James English and feel that you have to do that. Solemn looks, pious tones, flowery language. We're warned in Matthew 6:7 about vain repetition, but we know that it's the practice of many denominations that they chant or they recite in prayer things that they have committed to memory. None of these are necessarily make a prayer acceptable. On the other hand, they can make it unacceptable if it's done for the wrong reasons, can't it? If one is doing this for the attention of others, we have example of where the Pharisees were bad for that. They did things for the attention of others. So if a lot of these things that we can do, if they're done for the wrong reason, God is not accepting that. Essentials of prayer. I gave you some scriptures. Matthew 6:9, a disposition of reverence is what I had there for that. Matthew 6:5-6, faith and trust, is told us there in James 1:5-7. Ephesians 5:20, we gave you that. It's a heart filled with thanksgiving. Essentials of prayer. And that's both for material. 1 Timothy 4:3-4, Acts 27:35, and for spiritual that we have in Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Humility was in Luke 18:9-14. We're told a forgiving spirit, Matthew 6:14-15. And of course, obedience to God's will, 1 John 3:22. 1 John 5:14, 1 Peter 3:10-12, John 9:31. And we can go on and on and on with obedience to God's will as being an essential that you have to have for prayer. We offer it through Jesus' name, don't we? Because He's our mediator. We pray everything through His name and through His authority, Colossians 3:17. He's our mediator, 1 Timothy 2:5, our high priest. Hebrews 8:1-2. He's our advocate, 1 John 2:1-2. We have to have proper motive, James 1:5-7. There's so much to prayer. Don't fall into the trap. Study prayer. Prayer is something that's very specific and it's very powerful, but it's very controlled by God and what He gives us. So we need to make sure that we stay within these parameters. Because it does avail much, doesn't it? James 5:16. It's edification that we get. Luke 18:1 tells us, pray and don't lose heart. Don't give up. That's what we need to do so much of. Don't lose heart, but instead be edified. Just make a few comments on our conclusion of our quarter. We can't ever lose sight of the importance of what we come together here to do when we enter into our worship services. We spent a whole quarter on how important our hearts and our attitude is, of what it takes to edify. And that's the second reason that we're here, is for our edification. And the importance that they have. It has to be according to truth and spirit. It has to be according to holy faith. What we come together to do goes to God as praise first and to each other as edification secondly. We're not here to be serviced or served, but we are here to serve God and to serve others. We receive benefits when our worship is acceptable to God and done according to truth and spirit. It's done according to holy faith. Think of all these benefits we spent our quarter going over that benefits us from what God tells us to do. And apply authority. Command, example, necessary inference. Necessary means something that's needed, but something that's needed that doesn't change our outcome. Doesn't add to or take away. I'll have these handouts on the Laying By and Store. There's a lot of good stuff there to also add. Has anybody got anything they want to add to our quarter, add to our study today? I know I rushed through it, I apologize, but please add if you have something. I appreciate what you have added. It's helped me. I've learned a lot. I always do. I always learn more than anyone. So it's been a good quarter. Thank you.